I don't want to hear your racist remarks in my presence. It had an impact. I don't know what else to do, quite honestly. I'm a little concerned that the best and the brightest are opting out of the system for the reasons you've described at that level, and we're leaving it to these turkeys. I often use a worse word, but you know, I'm being recorded. So I think it's, you've put your finger on a really profound problem that we have and always have had as a nation. Well, don't be in despair. Jefferson lost the election of 1796, too.
I'm not in despair. I see it, and I even force it. Reagan's going to win.
Yep, looks that way, but we've still got another week to go. One mustn't despair if you lose a battle in a war on social change.
But the socialist is not ever going to be accepted. Homosexuality is not going to be accepted. Right?
Well, we've only been at this 30 years, which in the course of human change movements is about as young as you can get. We've achieved an enormous amount in 30 short years. Do the best we can.
Right.
Who else has a question? Yes, the red shirt.
What do you do the positive gain?
I really can't hear you. Would you speak a little louder?
It's been my experience that positive gain is often are the most vociferous and stand the most in the way of progress of gay rights. What do you do with their role?
Their role? I mean, my experience is the same as yours. I'm not sure they're not the worst enemies we've got. Once in a while, some of them are helpful. The word to get them out of the closet involuntarily is called outage. I think the role they ought to play is being outed. I think they're a menace. I mean, I've written that. I mean, I feel very strongly that a gay person who stands in the way of our progress should get outed. I have no patience with them. My lawyers won't let me out a few that I'd like to out, because they say it'll bankrupt the company. But I take the dimmest possible view of them. I go farther than that. I can tell you that in 15 years, whenever I've run into somebody one-to-one who's really homophobic, I know that person is gay. And I'll give you one example. I debated a state senator who was involved in an effort one night on television in San Diego. And he was going on and on and on about gay, us gay people. And his wrist was going like this. And at the end of the show, I had like 10 seconds to wrap up comment. And I said, I noticed one of the members of this debate has a limp wrist and it isn't me. And they had to carry him off of the platform. He would never debate me or any of the people that worked for me after that. I thought that was terrific. But I mean, I called his act. He also beat up his wife, I found out later. So, what is their role? Menace, I guess, is their role. And what can we do about it? I don't know. It's not an easy problem. At one level, it's ethically inappropriate to force somebody to do something they don't want to do. And so if they don't want to come out of the closet, who are we to force them out? My feeling is, as long as they're not doing any damage, okay. But if they start to do damage, then I'm not so sure I think it's ethical to leave them in the closet. It's a very tough problem we have, from coast to coast and in all the countries abroad. It's particularly a problem, in my view, because so many of them have the money we need to finance the movement. You know, we're unbelievably short of economic resources. We don't have money for AIDS patients, the care of AIDS patients. You would think that on the basis of pure unadulterated humanity, that some of the people who have it would cough up a few bucks, not a nickel. If we can't get them on that one, I'm a little hard put to know what we can get them on. They're the bane of my existence as an activist. Yes, in the checkered shirt. I can't hear you. Those issues may not be addressed right away by the mainstream of the systems you've mentioned, but we can count on people to not let us totally ignore them. And it's a bit like getting around to it. Clearly, the issues of our relationships to the third world, we're getting around to whether we like it or not. The issue of man-boy love is a very difficult one for the gay movement, but certainly one we can't ignore forever. I think I can safely leave that one to people your age. I hope I've retired. I don't want to do this forever, you know. That's a tricky one that I'm perfectly delighted to leave to some other people to worry about. But you're absolutely right, it needs to be worried about. Because the other side of that is how many young men need a role model and are not, in fact, exploited. But that's not the conventional wisdom. You know, we're not supposed to come out until we're 40. If we come out at 5, you know, we're in deep doo-doo. Most of the gay people I know recognize their sexual preference somewhere between 5 and 20. So you're talking about a very tricky problem. And the issue of our relationship to the third world, it seems to me, is coming to a head in this 4 years around our role in Central America. I think it will be on the center of stage before the administration we're about to elect leaves office. Yes. The question was, how threatening do I find the new right, not only in stalemating our progress, but forcing us backward? Is that a fair approximation of your question? The price of liberty is eternal vigil. I think that was Tom Paine said that. I agree. If we sit on our buns and do nothing, the new right could get all of its agenda passed through the Congress and the state legislatures. And if we don't resist them, I think we're going to be in deep trouble. But what I notice is they do us a lot of good because they get people mad. And, I mean, Anita Bryant was a phenomenal shot in the arm to the gay movement. And I don't know what we'd do without Jerry Falwell. So at that level, so far, they've been helpful. And in 1982, when they really were doing their number, around something called the Family Protection Act, whoever ran in favor of that got whipped from coast to coast. So, you know, that sort of disappeared. I think that the new right is going to be something that we'll see really, what's going to happen in that area will be resolved within the Republican Party in the next 4 years, whether Reagan wins or doesn't win. Because they're going to try to take over the Republican Party in this next 4 years. And a lot of Republicans, more traditional and less traditional interests, are very, very violently opposed to that happening. So I think you're going to see within the Republican Party in the next 4 years a battle for its soul in that sense. Republicans tend to have their battles more privately than we Democrats do, but I would suspect this one will be bloody enough that it'll surface and even make the newspapers and television from time to time. They won't be able to keep it all underground. It'll be sort of an entertainment for us Democrats.
How are you being received by the university?
Yes. So far, I've been received extremely cordially. Took a lot of work. I hope I can do us all some good. I'm fairly patient. Not limitlessly, however. And I've already stirred it up around here a couple of years ago. I feel like sort of like the old warrior when I smell the fight, you know, I got to go out and get my shield and lance. I've got to curb all that for all of our sake, because I think something wonderful might occur. Who else has a question? Well, thank you very much for coming out to hear me. A wonderful job here in Ithaca of creating an ambiance for gay people to live relatively comfortably. I take my hat off to you and your leaders and people who put out the effort to get you this far. You're very much farther along than almost any place I've ever been in a university setting, and that's absolutely a credit to you and nobody else. So you have my acknowledgement for whatever it's worth as having done a truly remarkable job. So I really am privileged to have been asked by you to come and talk to you and meet you. Thank you very much.